God with me, if you will, and turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus is in the New Testament. You'll find 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You'll find 1st and 2nd Timothy. And then you'll find the little book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, as you find your place there, this Titus chapter 2 was probably written the same time 1st Peter was written by the Apostle Paul. And we'll have here some great things about a bishop of the church in chapter 1, about the office of a bishop, about what a preacher or a pastor should be. And there's some great things about a church, some great things about laymen in the church. But here in Titus chapter 2, we're going to just read about 4 or 5 verses this morning. Begin reading in verse 11. If you'll read with me in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Here the Apostle Paul's the penman. He wrote these words, and I believe we have some great things that we can have here for us. I believe, my friend, what we have here in verse 11, it talks about the grace of God. Read this one verse with me, if you will, and just try to give you a quick introduction of the message. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men." I'm thankful for the grace of God. And we know what God's grace is. God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, it's God's giving to us what we do not deserve. My friend, his grace is bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. I've once asked this question and thought about this question myself. If those people in the very far jungles of the world, if those people in the very remote corners of the world has never had a chance to hear the gospel, if they died, would they still go to a place called hell? Where the Bible says here, if you would, in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men." My friend, according to that one verse, the grace of God has appeared to all men. So whether or not they've heard the gospel, whether or not a preacher has took the Bible and preached to them about salvation, they still know by their conscience and they still know by creation that there's a God in heaven that would willing to save them, that would save them from a life of sin. I want to take this time to read Romans to you. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. I believe Romans chapter 1, let me find it in verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead, so that they are without an excuse." Here the Bible says that all men are without an excuse. So today, no matter who you talk to, no matter who you give the gospel to, no matter who you come across, the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has already appeared unto them. My friend, what does that mean? Before I even got saved 8 years ago, before I even got saved, I knew there's a God. I knew Jesus Christ has died for my sins, and I knew that there was someone greater and higher than me that I should be believing in and having faith in. I couldn't explain everything. I couldn't explain hardly nothing out of God's word to you before I got saved. But I knew within my conscience, and I knew within creation, I knew within myself, there was somebody that was greater than me, and I've come to find out his name is God. And my friend, he had a son, Jesus Christ. And Christ died for our sins so we could be set free. I want to show you the grace of God that bringeth salvation here in verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." I want my friend to know this morning, I want you to know this morning that salvation is real. We come across a lot of people and we pass out a lot of gospel tracts and we take the Bible and try to explain to a lot of people that salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ. And you put your faith and trust in him and he'll save you, my friend. The first thing we have is salvation. And that's something all of us has got to get settled. We've got to get it nailed down that we're saved by God's amazing grace. And my friend, I preach a lot of times and I tell you a lot of times, this church will not save you. This This church cannot save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says through him is the only way to be redeemed and to be set free from sin. I want you to know all of us have a sin penalty. The Sunday school lesson this morning taught about Adam and Eve, how Eve sinned against God, how she was beguiled by the serpent, and she sinned against God and partook of that bitten fruit. And the moment she ate that fruit, the Bible says her eyes was open and she knew right from wrong. She knew she was naked and she gave to her husband, and her husband willfully ate of the fruit and his eyes was open, and they both knew they was naked, and they took little fig leaves and sewed them together to cover their nakedness. But a great story is that God come walking in the cool of the eve and said, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" And Adam finally spoke up and said, "God, we hid ourselves because we knew we was naked." Even though them fig leaves was covering them, he still was naked in the sight of God. And God said, "Who told thee that thou was naked?" And he said, "The woman which thou gavest to me, she gave me the fruit and I did eat." And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me and I did eat." And God looked at the serpent and said, "Cursed above all creatures, upon thy belly shall they go all the days of thy life, and dust shall they eat," my friend. I want you to notice the devil beguiled and tricked Adam and Eve and partaking of the fruit, and they sinned against God. And my friend, because of their sin, all of us has inherited a sinful debt. We're all been born, so we're all still born spiritually. The Bible says, "You had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." The moment I was born spiritually dead to God. My friend, now we know there's an age of accountability. I don't know what age it is. It could be 8, it could be 12, it could be, my friend, 5 years old. But it's when a child realizes they've sinned against God, they've come to the age of accountability. Or need to confess their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ and get saved by God's grace. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You're looking at a young preacher boy this morning, but I've sinned against God. I've sinned against a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says that I'm guilty in God's eyes as a hell-deserving sinner. And the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Because of my sin and your sin, we have to go to a place called hell where we'll be forever separated from Jesus. A person explained heaven a while back, and they said heaven is a wonderful street of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl and sea of crystals, and it's a wonderful place to be. But the greatest thing of heaven is you're in the very presence of God. That's what heaven is, in the very presence of Jesus. So, man, my friend, what is hell this morning? Hell is in the very absence of Jesus, is what hell is this morning. And because of our sin debt, we have to go to hell and pay for it forever and ever and ever. And it'll never fully get paid for. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." My friend, because we were born as sinners, we owe a sinful debt. We owe the wages of sin, and we have to die for our sins. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only way to escape hell, the only way to have forgiveness, is to come to Christ and receive the gift that he's given to the whole world. The Bible says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." Hey, beloved, you're here this morning. I want to tell you that we're guilty sinners in the sight of God, but the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, can cleanse us and cover our sins so we can have a place in heaven to go to when we take our very last breath. The Bible says, "For with the heart, the man believeth in righteousness." Before I got saved, before you got saved, we believed in God with our minds. I knew there was a God. I knew someone called Jesus. I knew he hung on a cross and died. And we celebrate Christmas for his birth. And we celebrate Easter for his resurrection. I knew that with my mind, but I didn't ever have it in my heart. The Bible said, "For with the heart, man believeth in righteousness." And many people miss heaven by 16 inches. They have it in their heads, but they don't have it in their hearts. Bible says, for the heart the man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, my friend, if you'll call on God, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, my friend, the only way to be saved is to call on a righteous and holy God and ask him to forgive your sins and come to your heart and life and save you and be your Savior. You've asked him with your heart, you've made a confession with your mouth, and you believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Hey, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, thank God this morning I didn't have to work for it, and I didn't have to earn it, and I did not have to marry it. I could not work for it. I could not buy it. But all I can do as a guilty sinner is drop on my knees and receive the gift of God with childlike faith and ask him into my heart and believe the word of God is true and believe that Jesus Christ would save all those who come to him and call on his name. And my friend, he'll save you today if you're not saved. The same way I got saved, the same way you got saved, is the same way anybody else will get saved. By coming to the foot of the cross and realizing not the ground is level. Old boy, a poor country boy like me can get saved. Hey, a Spanish man can get saved. Hey, an Indian man can get saved. A man down in Africa who's never been in a church, who's never heard a gospel, he can get saved the same way I got saved. And he'll be as much saved as I'm saved by just trusting in Jesus Christ, my friend. The Bible says here in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Look here, if you would, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and renewing, and by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hey, the Bible says here, my friend, that we're saved not by our works, but by the justification of Jesus Christ, bestowing his record upon us by imputing his righteousness upon us. We're saved by God's amazing grace. It's nothing you've done. It's nothing I've done. It's nothing we can do. It's not that I found God. It's not that I straighten up and put on a suit and wingtip shoes. It's not because I'm coming to an independent Baptist church that I'm saved. I simply got saved by trusting in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you call on him with your heart. The Bible says once again, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You realize this morning, my friend, if you're saved, you're heirs with Christ. We heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's our Savior, but he's also our brother, my friend. And everything he has in God, we have accessible to us this morning. Everything God has this morning is accessible to us if we just come to God and claim the promises that God has given to us in the Word of God. The Bible says all the promises is in him is yea, and in him is amen. In other words, beloved, hey, come down to our language. Hey, every promise in the Bible, you can take it to the bank, because it's true and steadfast. He promised you grace, he can give grace. He promised you strength, he can give strength. He promises mercy, he can give mercy. He promises salvation to all those who will have faith in him, and he can give it to you this morning. It don't matter how low in sin you've went. It don't matter, my friend, the pig slops you've been in your life. God still can save you, and he'll raise you up in that miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock. He'll establish your going and put a song in your heart and praise upon your lips, and then you can say, blessed is the man that trusteth in God. Bible says here, the grace of God that brings salvation. The grace of God brings salvation to all of us. But notice the second thing, not only salvation, but separation. Here in verse 12, the Bible says that the grace of God in verse 11 and in verse 12 teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The word world is interpreted two meanings. It means the whole world, and then it means this age in which we're living in. In other words, he said, hey, there are some things that you have to avoid, and there are some things you have to live in this very present age. Let's look at them real quickly this morning. In verse 12, the Bible says, teaching us. What is teaching us, my friend? The grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Hey, the grace of God teaches us that we should deny ungodliness, my friend. What is ungodliness? Anything that's against God. Anything against God is ungodliness. And the grace of God. Now, I admit I wish I could live better than I do. But I'm no super-duper Christian, and neither are you. But the grace of God every day teaches us that we should deny that filth of the world, that junk of the world. It teaches us every day, well, to deny the pleasure of the flesh, the pleasure of the eye, the pride of life. Every day, well, just deny the ungodliness of the world. Notice what else it says. Deny the ungodliness of the world, worldly lust, and we should live soberly. My friend, we should be on guard right now. We should be living soberly. We should be living righteously. In other words, we're holy because God's holy and we're in Him. He said, be ye holy for I'm holy. We should be living soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, in this present world. Hey, the grace of God that brings salvation is the same grace of God that teaches us to live for Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you don't have no problem living for Jesus. If you'll just be led by God. If you'll be led by the precious word of God. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've still got a problem. I'm saved, but I still got an addiction. Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm still in the filth of the world. Hey, the God that saved you is the same God that can bring you out of the world and put you in a good gospel preaching church and, my friend, make you a trustee and make you a deacon and make you a Sunday school teacher and make you a bus captain driver and make you a preacher and make you a pastor. The same God that can save your unworthy soul can make a new creature out of you. My friend, if you knew me before I got saved, you wouldn't let me behind this pulpit to preach to you. If you knew me, as the song says, if you knew me before I knew him, then you'll know why I love him so much. My friend, you don't know me the way I knew me. I knew I was no good for nothing. Deserved to be shot, placed in the grave, going to hell, being there forever. That's what I deserve. I deserve to be in hell, as Preacher Larry said, when my back broke. There's nothing good about me. And hate to burst your bubble, but there's nothing good about you until Jesus Christ come along. But the same God that saves us is the same God that can take us out of the old life we was living in and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The same grace that saves is the same grace that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. My friend, I want you to look at this one verse here in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Look and know what the Bible says. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. Let me ask you there for a minute. Let's stop. Have you believed in God for salvation? If you nod your head, yes, I believe in God for salvation. The rest of this verse is talking to you. Notice what it says. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Notice what it says. It says after you get saved, and then you maintain good works. After you get saved by the grace of God, then you maintain good works, then you live for God. Hey, it's useless to live for God before you get saved because all that amounts to nothing but religion. You know what religion is? Dressing up the man on the outside. You know what religion is? You taking an alcohol bottle from a man and putting a Bible in his hand and putting a suit on his back and putting him in church and say, you sit there and do the best you can and maybe God would take you to heaven. heaven. That's what religion is. But hey, honey, I don't have religion this morning. I have salvation where God moved in on the inside and performed a miracle and performed a work that changed the inside to the outside. And my friend, this morning, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because of the grace of God. The grace that we don't deserve is the grace that saves. The grace we don't deserve is the grace that teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. My friend, the Bible says that they which have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Boy, it's easy to get caught up in the flesh. It's easy to get caught up in this world. It's easy to get out there building something with your son, building something with us, out there making something the other day, and we cut all the lumber that we needed and got all the nails together and all the hammers together, and me and my boy was out there messing around, and I took that hammer and started smacking a nail, and somehow the hammer slipped off the nail and hit my thumb. Well, then words come quickly to my mind. I want to take that hammer and throw it in the pond. I want to take that lumber and just burn it. But I didn't care about building anything. And then, hey, we have to be careful because that filth and that trash is still in our hearts and still in our minds. And I believe the more we read God's word, the more of that trash and that filth would be filtered out and we get through of, my friend. But hey, as Preacher Larry used to say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you sure can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Hey, them words might be in your mind. Them words might be stuck up there, but they don't have to come out. You don't have to give in. You don't have to quit. You don't have to serve the devil. You don't have to get back into the world. You don't have to quit on God. The Bible says, they which have believed in God, be careful to maintain good works, for they are profitable unto men. Many times we get in our minds, hey, I'm going to work for Jesus and let Jesus be proud of me. Remember, the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized on the Jordan River and he was brought up out of the Jordan River, a dove come and landed on Christ. And then we heard a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And there we have the Trinity. We have God the Father, his voice, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit as a dove descending upon Christ. But what got my attention is before Jesus ever done one miracle, before he ever preached one message, before he ever done one good work, my friend, the Bible says, God said, this is my Son and who I'm well pleased. We think the more we can work for God, the more we can accomplish, the more God's going to be pleasing us. The truth of the matter is, the more we can do, it's more profitable for the world. It's more better for the world. In our terminology, it's more better for the world for us working for God. My friend, the Bible says if we maintain good works, it's profitable unto men. I bet you something. Somebody's watching you today. Our neighbors watched us leave the house this morning. They've watched us. They've seen when we wake up every Sunday morning and go to church. They know what time we pull out. They know what time we come home. They're watching to see if we're going to live the Christian life that we've told them they should be living in. And I've got church members watching me, and I tell you to go soul winning, and they're watching me if I go soul winning. I'm telling you to be faithful about paying your tithes, and they're watching me about paying my tithes. I'm telling you to read your Bible and pray, and we've got church members and family members that watches me to see if I read my Bible and pray. Hey, my friend, our good works is profitable unto men. But I believe if you're saved by God's grace, you belong to God. I believe God's well pleased with what he's done in you, because he's done a great work. Not only do we have salvation, not only do we have separation, but I want you to look at verse 13. We have the second coming of Christ. It says here, look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, the grace of God that brings salvation and the grace of God that teaches us to live for Jesus. Hey, that same grace of God, it makes me look for the second coming of Jesus. You say, preacher, what in the world do you mean? Hey, all them times when God fed me and all them times when God took care of me and all the times God has touched one that was sick or suffering with cancer on the deathbed and God's touched a body. Every time God's ever done something great for me, it just made me love him that much more. And every day I'm looking for Jesus to come so I can wrap my arms around him and and hug them and kiss them and say, thank you for being such a great Savior. Thank you for being such a good Savior. Hey, thank you for being a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and my friend, the chief shepherd. The Bible says, shall appear, and we shall see him as he is. The Bible says, looking for our Savior to come. We have salvation, separation, and the second coming. I want to share these few verses with you. There's many verses we read about the second coming, but this is something precious to me as I was reading it. Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of James. Over to your right-hand side, you'll find the book of James, James chapter 5. I want you to notice the wording of these two verses for us. Do you know you're saved this morning? That's where it all starts. If you're saved, then you should be separated. And if we're saved and separated and we're looking for the second coming of Jesus, the Bible says, he that will come shall come. Look here, if you would, James chapter 5, verse 7. Notice the Bible, what it says. It says, be patient, therefore, my brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Well, I'm ready for him to come now, ain't you? I tell you this, if Jesus come back right now, I don't have one thing to go home for. I don't have one thing I need to go home and redo or fix. It says here in verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have longed patience for it, until he receive the earth in the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. My friend, it's closer now than it ever has been before. And I promise you, the Bible says, he that shall come will come. When we think about Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says these two men in white apparel stood by the disciples and said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you in the clouds, so shall come in like manner. Hey, the Bible says that he's coming back, beloved. Hey, he's coming back. Jesus, the King of glory, is coming back to get all of us, to take us home, to be with him in glory. Hey, my friend, do you know you're saved this morning? If not, come to this altar and receive Christ as your Savior. If you're saved by God's grace, my friend, let us live a separate life, because it's profitable to maintain good works, because he's coming back. He's coming back, folks. I don't know if you visit around any other churches or not, but this old preacher boy is going to tell you he's coming back. Hey, heaven's sweet, hell's hot. It's right to pay your tithes. It's right to live right. And Christ is coming. He's coming. I don't know when it is, but he's got a time, a day, an hour where he's coming back. And beloved, he's not going to tarry his coming. He's got on his spiritual calendar when he's coming. And my question this morning is, are you ready? Because when God comes, you're not going to stand before God and say, God, I didn't know. I didn't know I needed to be saved. I didn't know that there's a place called heaven, a place called hell. Jesus, I didn't know that if I didn't receive you as my Savior, I'd die and go to hell, because the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And if you're saved by God's grace, you're not going to stand before Jesus and say, hey, I didn't know I shouldn't have done that. I didn't know I shouldn't have lived that. I didn't know I shouldn't have went there. I didn't know I shouldn't have said that. I didn't know, Jesus. I didn't know that stuff was wrong, that stuff was a sin, that stuff wasn't right, because the Bible says the same grace that saves is the same grace that teaches that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, beloved, he's coming back. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? It's more than just saying, preacher, I'm saved. It's more than just saying, hey, I'm living right. Are you ready to meet the Savior in the condition you're in today? There's things I wish I could fix about myself. There's things I need to straighten up in my own self. That's why I preach the way I do. Not because you're so bad, but because I am. The reason I preach the way I do is not because you're so good, because none of us is good, no, not one. But what I've got in my life is the same thing you've got in your life. this old stinking, rotten, no good for nothing flesh that wants to live for the world, the devil, and itself. Right now, if Jesus Christ would come back, could you smile? Could you stand up and smile at him and say, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to leave a lot of things. I'm ready to leave sin and pain and suffering behind. But the Bible says that there's going to be no excuse when we stand before God about salvation. Because today, whoever you are, you know within your heart that you need to be saved. And if you're saved by God's grace, there's no excuse why we're not going to live for Jesus Christ. Because the same grace that saves is the same grace that teaches. It teaches us that to live for living for Jesus. And as we live for Jesus, we'll look for that blessed hope. I remember years ago, I'll tell you this, and then I quit and we'll pray. Mama used to go uptown on Saturdays and buy groceries. You know, we was growing boys, she'd buy about $250 worth of groceries. You know, me and my brother and my sister, we just eat all the time. You know, she didn't ever buy that much. We never had that much money. But Mama would leave, and she'd say, I want the dishes washed. Or we had to cut the yard or pull the weeds out the flower bed or vacuum the floor or do something like that. We had to do some kind of work while she was gone. And Mama said, I'll be back home in a little bit. I want you to have the work done while I'm gone. And Brother Jeff, we always ask the same question. Well, what time do you believe you're going to be coming back? You know, if she's gone 4 hours, then we're not going to clean up the first hour. We're going to wait till the last hour to clean up. So we'd always ask the same question, Brother John. Mama, what time do you think you'll be back? And she always gives the same reply. I don't know. Just have the job done when I get back. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know when, but I know he is. Is the job done? Do you know you're saved this morning? And are you living for Jesus? And are you looking for him to come? Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for this day, for this hour. It's a full hour that we'll never get back. But I believe, God, we spend it wisely when we spend it with Jesus. We pray for those this morning that's lost. Lord, I don't know their hearts, but you do. And Father, right now, I pray for them, God, that they simply just come to trust in Jesus this morning. They take you at your word and realize that they're guilty sinners in need of a Savior. And Father, please, this morning, touch their hearts. The Bible says that they're without excuse this morning, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. If there's a person under the sound of my voice that's not saved this morning, they know, without a shadow of a doubt, they know they need to be saved. And I pray, God, that would happen for them this morning. And for us that are saved, we've been redeemed, been washed and bought by the precious blood of Jesus. God, by all means, help us to be separated from the ungodliness and worldly lust in this world. And help us to be sober. Help us to be righteous. Help us to be set apart for you. And God, every day may we look for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless his invitation time now. In your precious name I do pray. Amen. If you would stand with me as the invitation begins, the altar's open. Let me ask you a question with your eyes closed. No one peeking, no one looking around. Do you know you're saved this morning? Without a shadow of a doubt this morning, can you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm going to raise my hand and testify this morning I'm saved. Can you do that for me? Can you just lift your hand up real high and say, Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. God bless you for that. You can put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand this morning, won't you come and get it settled with God this morning? You're without an excuse this morning. God's calling you this morning. The grace of God, that bring of salvation, has appeared to all men. You know right now that God's calling you, that you need to give your life to Christ, that you need to be saved. while the invitation is playing, won't you come on? Won't you come on this morning and receive Christ? Won't you come on this morning and receive that new life that you need? Won't you come on this morning and give God your sins and receive the gift of salvation? He's calling, He's waiting. Won't you just come to Him? Won't you just come to Him? Hey, beloved, if you're saved by God's grace this morning, I want to give you some good news. It's not going to be long. He's coming again. He's coming back. It won't be long. He's coming. He's coming. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus again. He's coming back. Father, we thank You once again for Your love in our lives.